John Licata is the incumbent Buffalo School Board member and also a lawyer with the Erie County Water Authority. We'd like to thank you for joining us. And joining me is Buffalo News education reporter Deidre Williams. John, as the incumbent, you've certainly dealt with quite a bit of controversy with issues on the board. But right now, what would you say the largest issue is facing the Buffalo School District?
Well, the largest issue facing the district is not graduating a majority of the students. And that's the primary purpose of the district, and we're not succeeding. And if you resolve that issue, I think many of the other issues will fall into place, whether it's contesting the quality of the schools or otherwise. Once you're graduating students, your schools will be deemed quality students or quality schools.
But with all the controversy and issues that have been happening around that, are we really truly seeing an escalation of that? Is it starting to increase?
I think that we have to look at this problem as a problem to be solved in two ways. One is the short term. What are we doing for the students who are in high school right now, freshman through senior, the children in eighth grade? And then what are we planning for the next 20 years, and what are we planning for the next 30 years to try and address the same problem? We have Say Yes as a partner providing the wraparound services. We have a number of after-school programs we're trying to get off the ground. I don't see the numbers going in a dramatic fashion in the near future. And I think that's troubling to everybody in the community. But I also see, as a community, if we start to address why children aren't succeeding and what is it that isn't captivating their imagination in school, and I think by developing schools that do capture their interest, you will find students in school studying to achieve those goals along the lines of the medical campus school, Bennett, and I mean, this isn't a done deal in any way, shape, or form, but as a financial academy, and opening a high school in South Buffalo with the Riverbend initiative that the governor has brought. I think those are plans that would capture the imagination of students, and it would set them on a track both for a career and to pursue higher education.
Even though you voted to bring Superintendent Pamela Brown on board, you now believe that she should be terminated. Why the change?
Well, when we brought Superintendent Brown into Buffalo, there were a number of advantages that hadn't come to Buffalo before. One of them was the Say Yes to education. And just to go back, you may remember kids were crying when it was announced because now that obstacle of tuition was removed. And it's an emotional moment. And I'm sure parents were very happy as well. But, I mean, you're looking at opening up the opportunity to go to college. We had the Buffalo Billion Initiative from Governor Cuomo, the Buffalo Promise Neighborhood, M&T Bank. I mean, we have had a number of partners who were very enthusiastic with addressing many of the problems. Because this is a community problem. And it's not limited to Buffalo. Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, many of the urban centers in New York and across the country are facing low graduation rates. So we had a community poised to work together with the DPCC. Everybody was willing to work together. And over the last 2 years, I think we've seen more of a fragmentation of our efforts at education. We see parents who feel that they're being left out, they're antagonized, their schools being closed without having a forum to discuss that. I mean, there was an effort by some community business leaders to entice Superintendent Brown to leave.
Well, why do you think? She should be terminated.
Well,
why? Even though you voted to bring her on board.
I brought her on board because if you looked at her resume, we're talking someone who had gone to the Harvard Urban Superintendent Program, bilingual. We have a large English language learner population, so we have a bilingual superintendent. And I think that there were many assets on paper that never came off the page. And we don't see the leadership that I think needed to be demonstrated because we were in a crisis and we still are. And I think we don't see that leadership demonstrated with the advantages in place. And I think we're in danger of squandering an opportunity in the city of Buffalo. And I don't think that we have much more time to hope that we take flight. And that's why I've changed.
Your children attend City Honors in Olmsted. Do you hope to intend to make that opportunity as a board member available to all students?
I think each student, that there's an optimum school for each student. For instance, some students would not do well at City Honors. It's a very academic intense, and my daughter, who's at Olmsted, is flourishing. She loves Olmsted and would not want to attend City Honors. And I think Performing Arts is another great example of a school where students' enthusiasm for a subject matter, or Emerson School of Hospitality, will motivate them to be educated. So I don't think you could just take City Honors, you know, replicate it 15 times and then have a system in good standing. I don't think that'll work. I think what we have to do is be creative, draw upon the strengths of a particular community, a particular neighborhood, and develop a school in that respect. So, yeah, I hope every child has an education that doesn't impede that curiosity that they bring to the schools when they're 4 and 5 years old.
You've been pushing the proposed Medical Campus High School, and it's gone through a lot of last-minute changes, and it's scheduled to open this fall. Why did you go from recommending a delay, which you did earlier this year, to give the district more time to come up with a better plan? Mm-hmm. Why did you go from recommending a delay to pushing it through?
Well, at the time, that delay was about School 8. It was going to spend $50,000 on an architect to examine School 8 to see if it could be and what needed to be done to bring it up to the standards that it would need to for a medical campus school. State Ed told us they weren't going to give us any money to do that work. And we were looking at a $50 million shortfall. So we didn't have the money to go forward at School 8, which is on Maston and East Utica. As time went on, we won one of 24 grants of $3.9 million. So, I mean, that's a lot of reasons to go forward with the medical school. But also, when it looked like Martin Luther King School was not going to be permitted to reopen and it would need to close, that's even closer to the medical campus than School 8 is. And so if we then change the school program for Martin Luther King, it's in a better position physically, it's a newer building, and we would be entitled to get some aid from the state to bring it up to what would need to be done with labs and things like that for the students. And so then we shifted the program from a high school only, because some educators were saying to get students involved in this program, you would want to bring them in at an earlier grade. And so we brought that up to, a 5-12 program instead of a high school only.
John Licata, unfortunately we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
I've had a wonderful time. Thank you. It was a great visit.